Welcome back to the programme. Now I have to do the last of the lyrics. She sits alone, waiting for suggestions. He's so nervous, avoiding all the questions. Now get texting for the Rod Stewart concert in Porkeycleave, and that is in May. Now, the we were talking earlier on about employment and losing your job and gaining a job. It's a very interesting one today that you kind of figure, are they sending us up? But it's the Daily Telegraph tells us that Sweden's public art body has sparked outrage by commissioning an artwork that will see 500,000 of public money used to hire an employee to do whatever they like forever, so long as they punch in and out on a time clock each day. I joke you not. The position holds no duties or responsibilities other than that it would be carried out at Korsvagen, which is the name of the place. Whatever employee chooses to do constitutes the work, and the holder will be paid almost 2,000 per month, with an average increase of 3.2% over the next 120 years. So you could always consider applying for that.
Some trade union there.
That's right, yeah. Cormac O'Hara, you're welcome into studio. What's your story for today?
What's your identity is the question. Because in the run-up to St. Patrick's Day tomorrow, with the world focus on Ireland and Irishness, I ask you, do you know what... How would you describe your identity, I wonder?
Irish.
That's it? Full yeah. stop. European?
Yes, I would as well.
Dublin? Dublin? Would you as well? We're asking if religion plays a part in your identity, if Europeanism plays a part in your identity, internationalism, language... colour and so on. So that's one question we'll be asking. We'll obviously start with the awful tragedy in New Zealand and Christchurch. We'll talk to the New Zealand ambassador to Ireland and get his take on how his country is dealing with it. And we'll discuss the ripple of fear facing the Muslim community as far away as here as well with Sheikh Umar Al-Qadri. We'll talk Brexit to see if Theresa May can deliver the impossible next week, and if not, how long of an extension and so on. And we'll also discuss, as you have done, Bloody Sunday and the question Dennis Bradley posed in one of the papers, I think the Irish Times
today, if
justice delayed is justice denied, and if justice can be delivered to the families and the victims of Bloody Sunday and many other tragedies that happened throughout the Troubles. So right. A packed programme today.
OK, thank you very, very much indeed. And that will be on the air at 1 o'clock. So thanks, Cormac, for that. Now, St. Patrick's weekend is traditionally when the tourist season here kicks off. And the latest figures from the CSO show that the number of overseas visitors to Ireland grew by over 11% in January this year. However, it appears that less Irish people travelled overseas. And my next guest has plenty of suggestions for those who wish to stay at home. Today, the Irish Independent published its Fab 50, Ireland's 50 best places to stay in 2019. And the travel editor there, Paula Conilla, joins me now in studio. Now, before we get into your Fab 50, iconic buildings going green all around the world, quirky yeah. events, funny, they're kind of good, positive things.
Oh, it is,
they?
Yeah, yeah. yeah. This is a weekend when Ireland kind of takes a place centre stage.
Yeah.
And what you meant, it's traditionally the beginning of our tourism season, and Tourism Ireland, which markets Ireland overseas, has lost no time in jumping on board on this. The global greening, which is what you're referring to there,
yes.
started 10 years ago when two buildings were lit up green on Paddy's Day, and they were the Sydney Opera House and the Sky Tower in Auckland. And I talked to Rodney Walsh, who was the honorary consul in New Zealand at the time, and
yeah.
he said it was a lot of back channeling and chat and two bottles of Bushmills involved in getting the Sky Tower to light up green.
Oh my goodness,
then,
bribery and corruption. I don't want to know.
And since then, this has taken off. There are this weekend going to be 470 buildings going green, and they'll include everything from Adair Manor to the Burj Khalifa, which is the tallest building in the world, to Dublin Airport's terminals, the Las Vegas welcome sign, Niagara Falls. So it's amazing publicity.
And another one in northern Finland, which I don't think I'll be engaging
this
in.
This is... This is a weird one. Dragon's Den, the Finnish version of it apparently is called Polar Bear Pitching, where you stand waist deep in freezing cold water and give your business pitch. And these guys who are doing this while shivering are going to be lit up green, as if they hadn't lost enough dignity already. So that, the quirky stuff, the Parry Roller, where loads of people go roller skating in Paris on a Friday night, is also going to be lit up green. They're all going to hold green glow sticks. So it's a bit of fun, it's a bit silly, combined with the huge landmark buildings. It cost, I asked Tourism Ireland, how much does this cost? They said 48,000, and it's about 10 million worth of publicity and marketing for Ireland.
Oh, it is extraordinary,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And well done to them, let it be said. Now, let me just come back briefly. 2018, big year here for me. Yeah. We surpassed the 10 million mark. Yeah. Do we always want to keep growing?
That is a great question. 10 million, the first time we've ever made that figure last year. But you'll have noticed around Europe in recent years, places like Barcelona, Dubrovnik, Santorini getting increasingly crowded in July and August. And yeah, I don't think we do want that. And there's increasingly a shift towards pushing visitors into shoulder seasons, off season, and away from the honeypots or the places that get congested that time of year, Dublin, Killarney, Galway, and so on.
Yeah.
So there is, thankfully, policy starting to develop to push these people, the visitors, into the off season, and that could be through anything from festivals and events. Like if you think about Other Voices in Dingle, which runs in December, a beautiful event, things like that.
Fantastic event. Yeah.
So that's a great question. The other thing is, Ireland is, I suppose, an expensive destination now.
It is very expensive.
Yeah.
And I hear people doing cartwheels to say no, that it's all cheap, and then you go in somewhere to do something like have an ordinary bite to eat. Very dear.
Yeah, and it's, you know, there's, I think value and cheap are different things.
Yes.
That's another conversation, I guess. But the point here is that you cannot continue to get volumes of people in on the cheap. Should Ireland look at getting a higher spending visitor? Or then do you start talking about elitism?
Yeah.
And do we want to talk about tourism in those ways? So that's a discussion that Ireland is going to have the more visitors that keep coming.
Okay, now, you say the biggest event this year will be taking place in the middle of Ireland.
Yeah, well, we were looking at tourism trends as part of this big reveal today on the Fab 50, and one of them is coming to the least visited county in Ireland, which is, I'll leave that hanging for a sec, Longford.
Yeah.
And Centre Park, which is a big UK forest family resort, is opening its first Irish edition there. 230 million plus they've spent on it. I've stayed at one. I pitched up with my kids in the UK. You leave your car at the gate. You go and check into a woodland lodge. It has a kitchen. It has Wi-Fi. You can cook in, and then you go and you take part in all these activities. You could be playing soccer, doing soccer lessons, or looking at birds of prey demos, or swimming in what they call the subtropical swimming paradise, which is a closed water park heated to 29 degrees in the middle of Longford.
Right. Yeah.
So I have if I was telling a friend, I would say stock up food into your car, because this is an expensive place and you're going to want to cook the brekkie or the lunch and maybe have one meal out a day. Bring your bikes, bring your footballs and tennis rackets and everything like that, because it can cost up to €30 just to rent a bike. This is expensive, and the activities add up as you go.
Right. So everyone you pay for separately.
Yeah, you do. And it is very good quality. It's so similar to the cast members you meet in Disney or the crew on a Royal Caribbean ship. Like, the people there are very well trained and know what they're doing. Ain't cheap. If you can go off peak, by which I mean outside of the school holidays, obviously drop.
Yeah. Right. Okay, now, we're not going to get through 50, but but let us do the best we can.
Yeah.
Now, there's one. Adult only breaks.
Again, looking at trends on this, as I've been travelling around over recent months and the past year, I've noticed more places kind of comfortably doing adult only breaks. For a few years, people tended to say, "Oh, we have to add the kids," and parents sometimes feel guilty saying, "Oh, we can't go away without the kids, the best years of their lives," and so on. But this year, I've spoken to more and more people who are saying, "No, you need a break. Leave the kids at home. We have a country house that is done up with antiques, and it's, you know, fine dining in the evening. And why would you want a kid here and they wouldn't enjoy it? And so there's a couple of more places. One of them is Clongany House in Wexford. It's run by Philippe, a French chef who worked in Michelin star kitchens, and he's doing lovely dinners in the evening there. And they've got four bedrooms, and it's just not cool for kids, but it's a beautiful little retreat for adults. And I've seen a couple more of those springing up.
Price?
That's a good question. I don't know about Clongany offhand, but I will get it and tweet it to you after.
Okay, that's okay. Moving on. Yeah, the other thing you wanted to say that, mind you, I'm keeping an eye on the clock here, so we'll move on to get in other things. What is Teapot Lane?
That's a glamping site. Now, glamping has boomed in Ireland in recent years, so you'll probably be familiar with the image of these yurt-style tents, the Indian canvas and that, and there's a couple of them we've included this year. Leagan Castle Farmhouse in Kilkenny is another. Teapot Lane has a couple of yurts. They're insulated with sheep wool, surprisingly cosy, set in the middle of the forest in County Sligo. They also have a treehouse, they have vintage caravans and a cottage. So what they're geared at is midweek they do families, and then at the weekends they do unusual hen parties. So they have a little common area in the middle where they have bars. You bring your own booze and they do a barbecue that they cook out, and then they bus you into Sligo or Bundoora in one night. So it's a nice kind of, when we're putting this list together, we're trying to think outside the box of hotels.
Yeah.
And Irish accommodation has just expanded and become so diverse in recent years. It's great. And that's one of the more colourful ones.
Shepherd's Huts in Carlow.
Do you remember a Green Party TD, Mary White?
I do.
She is obviously no longer in the Dáil, but she and her husband are living in County Carlow, and their new business is Blackstairs Eco Trails. Mary runs foraging walks and hiking trips and so on, and she's recently added four shepherd's huts, which are tiny little huts, really cute, on wheels, painted pink, painted yellow, painted blue, nice cosy beds inside them, really warm, eco-friendly, and they have little, you know, Kilner jar beside the pillow that's with a few homemade flapjacks that'll say in case of nighttime starvation.
Right.
They're gorgeous, they're cheap, and they're on their property also. They have an eco barn where you can go and cook in the evening and you can walk during the day. So it's another example of just how freshly people are thinking about places
and
to
stay. Cost?
The cost of that is 75 a night.
Right. Okay. Leagan Castle Farmhouse, tents.
I mentioned that one in County Kilkenny. That's Caroline Sweeney is the girl who runs that. Interesting, she moved from a busy life in London into the middle of the countryside in Kilkenny to set up. She's got four tents there and a little cottage that sleeps too, and she runs a really classy little cafe. She gave me a beautiful pavlova when I went to visit her, and she whipped it up in her kitchen, and it was just this combination of sort of city sophistication and attention to detail in the middle of the wilds with Connemara ponies looking in over the wall, and these tents that spring up in the meadow.
Yeah.
Gorgeous spot.
Okay. And the other one, which would bring people back in more ways than one, the Blasket Island experience.
Yeah. Did you ever get to the Blasket Islands?
Every time I wanted to go out, the weather was wrong no boat going or whatever. I'd actually love to go. I love that part of the world.
They are, when the weather is good, it's a short, but it is quite a heady sea crossing. Blasket Island cottages run very basic cottage accommodation out there, and you might recognise a former owner of one of them, a lady called Peg. Her actual cottage you can stay in. Now, they're basic. There's you won't have hot water, for example, but you will have cosy beds, and you do have a breakfast that you can get for €6, given that we were talking about expense. The breakfast just costs €6.
And where do you get that?
They'll bring it to you. They actually have a cafe that runs in season on the islands.
Oh, right.
So when you get there, I visited as a day visitor in summer to have a look, and the old cottage husks on the side of that island are so evocative. It's ghost village that you walk through. Trabawn.
Even just looking across with your binocs,
from the mainland. That's right. And Trabawn covered in seals. And you can imagine, my son and I, as we were leaving the island, he said to me, he's 8, "Dad, I'd love to stay here." And we had that feeling that you're cut off from the mainland and the elements are around you, and you feel this sense of Irish heritage and history. So basic, but beautiful.
Right. Cost?
That one is... You caught me on that as well, do you?
Oh, no, that's the that's the breakfast is 6 weeks. Never mind.
That is not a lot. It's 100 or less, and I will tweet that afterwards as well.
Houses from 140 for two.
There you go.
Rooms from 100, sleeping two.
Yeah.
And boat trips out from Dingle or out to Dingle, I suppose. Can you self-cater there? You can?
You can in the evening, and the cafe will do the breakfast for you in the morning.
OK, now, where do you want to go to next? Because I've got the whole of Ireland in...
You have listeners probably making suggestions for you as well. So we spoke about the entry level and the camping and the quirky ones there. And we also have on the list a lot of higher end places. And one, I guess, to mention is the Shelburne, which you might have known is redoing a whole load of its ground floor at the moment. So it's not just limited to self-catering and camping, but also loads of five stars and hotels too.
Now, I gather that Game of Thrones fans... can go somewhere attractive for them.
Yeah, so Game of Thrones is kicking off in April. That's the last series, and a lot of it was filmed in Northern Ireland. This year, Northern Ireland's going to have a studio tour and location trails coming online. And there's a little place that I discovered in County Derry called Waterfall Caves, where a couple have built into the side of a mountain three little self-catering cottages. Now, to look at it, they look almost like hobbit holes, glass-fronted screen doors, and you step into it and you step in below ground. They sleep two each, and outside they have this fire pit and a hot tub. And if you go and ask at the hut at reception for a little map, they'll give it to you where you can walk up and go to places where they film scenes from Game of Thrones. It's a remarkable little place.
You've another one that comes under... I'm not going to go through the Blue Book and all of those posh ones, because people know how to find that out. But you have small but perfectly formed... The Old Convent in Tipperary.
Yeah, so there's one, a good example actually of the adult-only breaks that we spoke of earlier. A couple called Dermot and Christine run this former convent with just a handful of rooms, and Dermot cooks tasting menus in the evening, and couples can go and stay, and the rooms are individually done, and it's just a short stretch of the legs from the Knockmeal Down Mountain. So it's a great example of a little bolt hole. People go, they have a lot of repeat business, and people go for birthdays and anniversaries there. Romance is kind of the theme with the Old Convent. Beautiful little one.
Right. How novel, as they say.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's all in the...
All in the Arshindo's Weekend magazine today. So there's loads of ideas for your short breaks this year.
Yeah. OK, well, listen, thank you very much indeed for that.